So this morning, we are looking at John chapter 10, just a few short verses, 11 through 18. John 10, 11 through 18. This is the first time I've ever preached on this passage. It's actually a familiar passage to a lot of people. This just happens to be, oh my goodness, this is going to be a mess of a sermon. I just wanted to let you know up front. It was a rough week for me. So I've already apologized to a few of you this morning before I come up here. But anyway, John 10, 11 through 18. Before we read, let's pray. God, we open this book, and that was written so long ago, and we come with this crazy expectation that somehow, some way, through you, Spirit, we'll hear your voice. We don't know how it works, but somehow it does, it happens. And so we humbly ask for that again this morning, maybe especially this morning. We pray that you would speak, that we would hear, that we would be changed and look more like Jesus. Amen. So this is Jesus. I'll explain the setting a little bit later, but he's walking through the temple during the Feast of the Dedication. Tell you about that in a minute. And this is what he says. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I gotta bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. We'll go that far. Okay, let's go. I want to like this image of Jesus as the good shepherd. I really want to like it. I really do. And I think I do. But I struggle with it. I struggle. In fact, like I struggled so hard with this week. I did some work on it. And I got to like Wednesday at late afternoon. Usually I've got a really good idea where I'm going by then, but I'm like, I don't like this. Nope, I'm not going to do it. And so I picked up another scripture. I did some work on that on Thursday, and I'm like, I don't like this either. So I'm going to go back to the sheep thing, the good shepherd thing. And like I'm rambling right now because I had a really hard time coming up with enough words to say that would fill a whole sermon, create a whole sermon. And by the time we get to the end of this, you're all going to be like, oh, that's nice. I get to go home early today. Like, I struggle. I struggle with this image. I want to like it, but I struggle with it. And I kind of figured out that maybe there are two different reasons why I struggle with this image of Jesus as the good shepherd. And the first one is this. Like, I grew up in the church. Like, from birth till now, I've been going to church for the whole span of my years on this planet. I've been going to church. I've done all the things. I did youth group. I did Sunday school. I did small groups. I went to seminary. I got a degree, Master of Divinity. So I'm an expert on this stuff. So I've done all the things. And so being so immersed in this faith tradition, I have a certain image and the feelings that go with it when I think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And so what I did is I got on Google and I did an image search for the Good Shepherd. And I picked four images that I'm going to show you. And I want you to know that these are a good representation of what you'll find if you did a Google search for the good Shepherd. Like, as far as you scroll, you can just keep scrolling and scrolling, and you'll find images that look like these. Let's look at the first one. That's kind of nice. Gives you happy, good feelings. A little lamb on the shoulder there. Oh, we're going. So another one, a little lamb. That's nice. It makes you feel good. All right, let's hit the next. Yeah, we'll go quick. There's one, you know, it's kind of serene, you know, beautiful pastures. And that one, at least we're a little closer to what a Middle Eastern man. There's a little darker skin there. We finally got that a little bit right. But it's serene. That's kind of those are the images that come to mind when I hear Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Maybe you have the same experience. You might describe Jesus as meek and mild, you know, kind of almost, I don't know, super duper gentle. These images are kind of like Hallmark greeting card-y quality to them. Here's my problem. Like, those images don't really match what Jesus says about himself as the Good Shepherd. Okay, let's get rid of those. Like, yeah. Thanks, Jason. Those really don't match what this is like shepherd that Jesus describing himself has grit. This shepherd has courage. This is a shepherd who will fend off wolves. This is a shepherd who has skin in the game, who loves the sheep so much that he's willing to put his life on the line. He's literally willing to lay down his life because he loves his flock so much. Those guys up there, they didn't look like that kind of shepherd, did they? So my faith tradition gives me an image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd that doesn't really match. So I struggle with this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. That's the first. Here's the second reason why I struggle with this. What do I know about shepherding? Like, I can read about it and learn about it, and that's super helpful. Maybe or maybe not. I'll get into that later this morning. But I'm about as far removed from first century Middle East shepherding as I am from something like, say, quantum physics. Like, really, what do I know? Most of us have no real life experience or real life idea of what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the life of faith in terms of shepherding, in terms of wolves, in terms of sheep and hired hands. Jesus was using metaphors created from first century peasant life around him. Like, I've never shepherded. I've never met a shepherd. I've never had to fight off a wolf. So I struggle with this. So this morning, I come at this passage with a sense of frustration on one hand, because the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd given to me by my faith tradition doesn't match what Jesus actually says about himself being the Good Shepherd. There's a disconnect there. I come at this passage this morning from a sense of ignorance. What do I know about shepherding? That means that this morning I don't have a lot of answers for you. I know I'm supposed to be the answer guy, and maybe sometimes I'm okay at it, but this morning I don't have many answers for you, but I do have questions. Oh, I got a lot of questions. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the questions. I'm going to try to answer them. Maybe we'll have space. If you want to talk this morning, feel free. I struggle with this one. So if you have something to say, free reign. Speak up if you want to. You won't get that permission very often. I just want you to know that. And I'm warning you, many of my questions are going to elicit a lot more questions, like a lot more questions. It's question fest today at Renew. That's question fest, one word, capital Q, capital F, because that apparently is our thing at Renew, capital R, capital N, question fest. So here's my first question. I'm telling you, this is a mess. Why did Jesus describe himself as being the good shepherd? Why did he describe himself in this particular way in this particular setting? Big question. Why did Jesus describe himself in this particular way in this particular setting? Here's the setting. Jesus has just healed a blind man on the Sabbath. The religious elite are there. They're watching. They're not happy about it. They're already frustrated with him before he even starts speaking, right? It's the feast of the dedication. It's the holiday that we know of as Hanukkah. Have you heard of Hanukkah? So the Jewish people were celebrating the rededication of the temple following the Maccabean revolt that happened 160 some odd years before Jesus was even born. So they're celebrating the centrality of the temple in their own religious life and faith. Jesus is walking in the temple, the very place where Jewish people believe the presence of God dwells. You've got the courts and you've got the Holy of Holies where the presence of God dwells. Super important. Jesus is walking through the temple and he says, "I am the good shepherd." Why say "I am the good shepherd" in that setting? Look, the image of a shepherd tending sheep would have been deeply ingrained in the religious imagination of the Jewish people of his day. Like, they had a history with shepherds. Rachel was a shepherd. Zipporah was a shepherd, along with her sisters. Moses was tending sheep before God did that thing with the burning bush and called him to let my people go. David was a shepherd before God kind of plucked David out of obscurity and said, "You're now going to be king." They have this understanding that the divine God is the ultimate shepherd, watching closely over his sheep, the people of Israel. Read Psalm 23 if you want a reminder. "Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You lead me to green pastures," all that stuff. So the divine God is the ultimate shepherd watching over his sheep, the people. So I wonder if Jesus was saying something that was a little bit provocative when he described himself as the good shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd." While he's walking in the temple, the place where the presence of God dwells, he says, I'm kind of like a shepherd, y'all. I'm a little bit like, no, he says, "I am." Not "I am a good shepherd." "I am the good shepherd." Like, I think meek and mild, like those pictures. I think meek and mild because that's what my faith tradition gave me. I think meek and mild. But meek and mild doesn't make the religious elite so angry at you that they want to go out and arrest you for it afterwards, which they did. After this, they're like, "We got to arrest this guy because he said, 'I am the good shepherd.'" Was Jesus equating himself with God, the ultimate shepherd, when he walked through the temple and said, "I am the good shepherd"? It's provocative. During the feast, or it could be something else, could be something like this. during the Feast of the Dedication, when the Jewish people were celebrating the centrality of the temple, saying, and its importance in their spiritual lives, this is the place where God dwells. Was Jesus saying that the presence of God actually dwells? Where do shepherds dwell? They're out in the wilderness. They're out with the wolves, with the hired hands, with the dirty sheep. In other words, was Jesus saying that the presence of God actually dwells outside of places like this, outside of the temple? The presence of God dwells with the outcast, the politically incorrect, the ritually unclean. Was that what Jesus was saying? And then you think about Jesus' life. He spent most of his life not inside the temple, walking around saying, I am the good shepherd. No, he spent most of his life out on the margins of society with the people that nobody else wanted to hang out with the ritually unclean, with the politically incorrect, with the nobodies, the spiritual zeros of the world. That's where God's presence dwells. Is that what Jesus is saying? If that's the case, what does that mean for our day? Where is our wilderness? Where are the places that we think that certainly the presence of God doesn't dwell there? Who are the people among, where's the presence of God? Where does the presence of God, where are the margins here today? Questions. I got questions. Not many answers this morning. That's the first question. What did he mean when he said that about himself in that place? I'm not sure. I think I know. Maybes this morning. Here's my next question. What does Jesus mean when he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me? I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Warning, extreme cynicism coming for me right now. So apologies. That state, I'm going to cry all of a sudden. That statement shakes me. It rattles me. Because my experience of faith is certainly not that straightforward. My experience is that faith is not filled with that kind of certainty. And I'm fully aware I'm questioning Jesus here, and I'm saying, I don't know about this one, Jesus. Because there have been many, 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 sheep know his voice. There have been many times in my life where I'm like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where God wants me to go. Thirteen years ago, Renee and I had a decision to make for our family. We had a really good thing going on in West Michigan. The church was going in a great spot. And then there's this other opportunity to plant a church in Ames in partnership with the church in Ankeny. And we had no idea what to do. We felt like God was whatever. We didn't know. God wasn't giving us any clue. We eventually chose this, but we never got a clear word. My sheep know me. I know my sheep. My sheep know my voice. I don't know that I always know. I think of other things that can act as barriers between our life of faith and Jesus' assurance that we belong to him and know his voice. Sometimes one of those barriers can be a thing like doctrine. Like, do I believe all the right things about God? Have I checked all the right boxes? Can we really say that we believe wholeheartedly all of those things that are laid out nicely and neatly in those things we call the creeds and confessions? Is my theology in the right spot? Is there some sort of nuance that maybe I've missed? Right? Do I read the scriptures? Do we read the scriptures faithfully For others, there's this barrier of guilt and shame. How can we really belong to Jesus? How can we really be forgiven when we just continue to make a mess of things day after day after day? If we really do belong to the shepherd and we know his voice, why in the world do we keep wandering? For others, there's a barrier of sometimes pain. Like we cry out to God because of some kind of pain, whether it's relational, spiritual, emotional, or physical, and we cry out to God in pain, and it feels like sometimes we just don't hear anything from the divine. What does Jesus mean when he says, "I know my sheep, and they know me"? It just seems so simple and straightforward. But maybe those barriers are barriers of our own making. Maybe what Jesus is saying really is that simple. Maybe it really is that straightforward. Maybe it really is that radical. Maybe Jesus really is saying, "You do belong to me. Yes, you. I know about all that other stuff. It's fine. You still belong to me. You are mine." Maybe. Apologies for my cynicism. Here's my next question. Who are the hired hands in our lives? Because I read this and I'm like, I don't like those guys at all. Jesus says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. In the story Jesus tells, the hired hands are kind of like shepherds. But they're not really shepherds. They don't own the sheep. They got no skin in the game. They don't love the sheep. And so when danger comes, when things get a little bit difficult, they just leave and they abandon and the wolves attack and it's disaster time, right? Who are the hired hands in our lives? Who are the voices that we allow shepherd us, but who have no investment really in our lives? Who are the voices in our lives that kind of shepherd us, but maybe their voices are voices we should probably be a little bit wary of, or we should probably stop listening to because it might be harmful for us? What are the voices in our lives that are making promises to us that we probably shouldn't trust? What are the voices in our lives that are called? What about the voices that call us to, you know what? Your life is all about making more money and accumulating more stuff. What about the voices that call us or that tell us our lives aren't worth anything unless we're successful, whatever successful means? What about the voices in our lives that are telling us that we aren't attractive? Right? What about political parties? Oh my gosh, we have crazy people speaking at us all the time, and we keep listening. What about Christian nationalism? Which news network are you literally allowing yourself to be discipled by? CNN? Fox News? Is it News Nation, the new kid on the block? Is it MSNBC? What kind of influencers do we follow on the socials? Said it that way on purpose, and I know it's not the way you say it. Who are you being influenced? What voices are you allowing to do? This is where it gets personal for me. If we have a shepherd and a really, really good one in Jesus, does that make me as a pastor? Does that make me a hired hand? Sound like those guys? And if I'm a hired hand, what kind will I be? When things get rough, difficult, hard, when the wolves show up, Am I just going to go? Will I use people for my own gain? Or will I love people like I love my own life? What kind of hired hand? What would laying down my life look like? Isn't Question Fest fun? Whew. Huh? You caught that. That was a question with an exclamation point behind it. Double punctuation. Okay, here's another question. This one I didn't write down. It's just here, so I'm going to ask it. What about that thing that Jesus says about, I got other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I got to go get them too, and then we're going to have one big sheep pen. It'll be a super happy one, and there'll be one shepherd, and it's going to be me. Who are those other people? Who are those other sheep? What does he mean by that? Like, I have so many questions about that one because it seems so vague, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and if I go down this rabbit hole, we'll be here. Then we got a sermon that will last forever. So I'm not going to. What does he mean? Is it just, okay, we've got Jewish people, we've got the nation of Israel, and then we're going to bring in some Gentiles too? Or, oh my goodness, I'm done with this because I will go. So what does he mean by that? Here's another one. Last question. Actually, it's not. I lied. It's the last main question, and there'll be lots of other questions after this one. Why has the church softened this image so much? Why do we Hallmark greeting card it? What are we doing here? Okay. I've read and heard, you've probably read and heard about how dumb sheep are, about how scatterbrained sheep really are. I've heard and read, you ask Clint after church, he'll talk to you about dumb sheep. I've heard and read that sheep like to wander. I've heard and read that they regularly hurt themselves. Like, not on purpose, it's just how dumb they are. It's just because they wander. They regularly hurt themselves. They're little gluttons. They just keep on grazing. You put them in a field, they'll just eat all day. They're little gluttons. They make loud noises for no reason at all. Oh my goodness. And I think about my life. I think about what I see in the world. I think about, and I'm like, yeah, this tracks. This image absolutely tracks in a lot of different ways, right? It's there. I think about my own life. Maybe you do too. Like, what does Jesus have to put up with shepherding me? Maybe you wonder that too. Like, does he watch me make dumb, scatterbrained, stubborn decision after decision, just hoping I won't hurt myself? Like, has Jesus literally saved my life numerous different times and I'm completely oblivious to it? Like, I feel like one day, whenever we get to heaven, whatever heaven is, and I get to talk to Jesus face to face, I'm going to be like, hey, show me a video of my life, all the times you literally saved my life and I had no clue. Like, does that happen? I don't know. The more I read this, the more challenging it becomes, the more I think about it, the grittier the good shepherd seems to be. As the good shepherd, Jesus loves the stubborn and the lost. Yeah?
Can I share a story?
Yeah, share it. Do you want to? Yeah. This is so, I said it with the expectation that nobody would want to talk. So this is way better. Beth, let's hear it. Do we need a microphone?
Can you all hear me? Yeah.
People online are not going to hear you.
Last March, I went to Rome.
Oh, this is great.
Grandkids and my daughter. And of course, we did all the tourist things.
Is it on?
I don't know.
I really want people online to hear this. I really, really do. No.
Oh, God.
Don't be nervous. This is so good. Yeah, we're on now. Okay. Keep going, Beth.
Throw up any minute. Get somewhere.